Hello and welcome to Your Monitor's International Podcast Series discussing hot topics and global trends in industries, economies and consumers. I'm Silvia Marcomini, Communications Executive, and I'm joined today by Emmy Rollinson, Beauty and Fashion Senior Analyst, and Marguerite Lirland, Apparel and Footwear Industry Manager.
Hi everyone, nice to join you today.
Hi, great to be here today.
So today's episode is a part of a series we have recently started that explores how the 2020s are increasingly seeing the emergence of mega tensions rather than mega trends, contradictions defining consumer behavior and company response in Western Europe. The first episode, which is already available on our website, has focused on digital fatigue in a period of digital reliance. Today, we're going to focus on sustainability in fashion in an age of overconsumption. In the aftermath of COVID-19 lockdowns, many parts of the world have been characterized by stark tensions and contradictions. Behavioral tensions and responses range from empathy and a growing sense of community to a me-first attitude of self-interest, from risk aversion to compulsive behavior, from cautious spending and a more-is-less approach to consumption to indulgent spending and comfort clutter. So these choices and behaviors vary from individual to individual. However, what is more interesting for us is that we see consumers engaging with both sides of the trend. So for instance, being risk averse in their health behaviors, but throwing caution to the wind when it comes to spending and investment. This tension between opposing trends is particularly noticeable when talking about sustainability in fashion in an age of overconsumption. Emmy, Marguerite, I'll hand over to you to start the discussion and dwell deeper into why 2020 has been a pivotal year for fashion.
Thanks, Sylvia. Yeah, so 2020 was really a year of awakening in the fashion industry. As the global pandemic highlighted the plight of textile workers around the globe, when various fashion players came under fire after they cancelled their orders among suppliers in Southeast Asia, and in doing so, put at risk the livelihoods of thousands of textile workers with no safety net. 2020 also saw concerns around the impact of human activity on the planet, as this became front of mind again for people. And that's as in lockdown, they had more time to reflect, reassess their priorities, and maybe even watch documentaries like Sir David Attenborough's highly popular Netflix film, A Life on Our Planet. Moreover, 2020 was, of course, the year Black Lives Matter brought a global reckoning, and the fashion industry was instantly very outspoken in vowing to change. Since then, we've seen an increasing number of beauty and fashion brands upping their game on diversity and inclusion, as addressing racial injustice became a top priority. So, for example, the Nike CEO appointed Felicia Mayo as their new Chief Talent, Diversity and Culture Officer, and decided that Juneteenth, which is a date of celebration of the end of slavery in the US, would be a paid holiday for all its employees. However, a year on, the question still remains, has there really been a structural shift in the industry and real actions taken, or were these pledges mostly just PR stunts?
Thanks, Amy. Good question. I do believe 2020 was the year of reckoning, and actions speak louder than words. So even if things are not perfect yet, there has definitely been a shift in consumers' mind, which brands can no longer ignore. These brands that were quick to respond in their communication campaigns about the need to change, to embrace diversity, but have not followed their words with action, are taking a huge risk, the risk of being called out and of seeing great reputational damage done to their brand, because consumers have never been so vocal and connected. In fact, our Euromonitor's Voice of the Consumer survey shows that nowadays, over 70% of consumers of all age groups in Western Europe read social media on a daily basis. And you mentioned cancelled orders in Southeast Asia. And it's worth taking note that in the end, over 20 major brands of apparel and footwear committed to paying back these garment workers for their previously cancelled orders. And that was in response to the public pressure through international media and social media campaigns like the hashtag PayUp campaign. I think that's a great illustration of the power of social media and how companies cannot ignore consumers' ethical or political statements anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it does look like the big focus on global social causes in 2020 has had a ripple effect on numerous industries, including fashion. Consumers really aren't willing to compromise on their ethical values as much and are increasingly determined to use their purchasing power consciously, at least in Western Europe.
Precisely. And our survey shows that over 45% European consumers are more likely to buy from brands that they fully trust. And the flip side of this is they'll stop buying from brands that disappoint them. An illustration of this springs to my mind. It's the fall from grace from this fashion brand, Everlane, just in the middle of the pandemic. Everlane so far was a fashion player which had built its brand advocating transparency and championing ethical practices. They had been hugely successful since their launch in 2017. But in 2020, the brand was exposed on social media for not living up to their image and failing to support their own employees in the middle of the pandemic. That resulted in flat sales, but also a public apology by the CEO and founder. And nowadays, they're working really hard into rebuilding their brand and trying to regain people's trust.
I understand that the reputational damage could deter brands from not living up to their public commitments. But still, a lot of companies will first prioritise their bottom line and profits as fast fashion demand continues in Western Europe. Primark has recently beaten expectation and upgraded its outlook for the rest of the year. And the fast fashion player Boohoo has performed incredibly well, seeing 11% growth in sales in Europe in 2020. And that's despite reports of garment workers in Leicester earning just £3.50 an hour, which is way below minimum wage, and working in unsafe COVID-19 conditions during a localised lockdown. So it's really quite interesting and contradictory to see that despite consumer sentiment appearing to favour sustainability, it seems shoppers still prioritise other criteria in their purchase decisions, like price or convenience, with online players like ASOS outperforming the market. Euromonitor's lifestyle survey found that when it comes to product features influencing consumers' apparel and footwear purchases, value for money came in second below comfortability, with 51% of consumers looking for this. Design was also a really important factor, which is unsurprising considering the rise of aesthetic-laden social media, with 40% of consumers looking for this. And that's while just 16% and 15% respectively chose based on environmentally conscious or sustainably produced features.
Yeah, that's true. Value, price, comfort, they are still the top criteria when it comes to buy apparel and footwear. And because of the COVID-19 crisis, we're seeing an increased polarization of the demand in fashion. You have on the one hand, cash-strapped consumers that are buying less fashion items or seeking greater value when they do purchase apparel and footwear. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have wealthier shoppers that are willing to pay for a strong luxury brand. This was, for example, the case with Chanel or Vuitton actually increasing the retail selling price of some of their most iconic bags and seeing huge queues in front of their stores because the demand was so strong for these utmost luxury items. However, I think in that context, mass and mid-price fashion brands need to instill value in their products through personalization, service, and shared value and purpose if they want to remain relevant. It's not all about price, it's about the values they offer. So when you mentioned, for example, Primark, the fast fashion giant, it's worth noticing that even they have been repositioning their brand as more ethical and sustainable. And they rolled out last year an extensive program of social and environmental commitments under their program Primark Cares. This program already existed before, but they've widely expanded the scope of it. And the program now covers the pursuit of living wages for their suppliers, as well as tackling the CO2 emissions and increasing the use of recycled or sustainably sourced materials in their collections. This is a real shift from the Primark that we knew a few years ago. Another fast fashion giant, the H&M Group, was already an advocate of sustainable fashion with their H&M Conscious Range launched over a decade ago. But even they have increased their sustainable commitment since the start of the pandemic. They launched their first second-hand platform, SpyCell, in late 2020. And just very recently, a few days ago, they officially relaunched their brand COS as a fully circular brand that is only using recycled and sustainably sourced materials.
That's really interesting. And I mean, we all know the popularity in vintage and rental models is on the rise, with apps like Depop or Vintage having millions of active users. So embracing resale seems more like a sound business decision and not only an initiative to help save the planet. Also, many high street and fast fashion brands are making sustainable pledges currently and releasing sustainable or conscious ranges. However, is it really sustainable when their business models are still dependent on ever-increasing volume sales to see revenue growth? To be honest, the presence of greenwashing across the industry makes the sustainable landscape really quite difficult for consumers to navigate. And as a result, many rely on online activists' call to attention, brands not aligning with their green marketing.
Yes, and that takes us back precisely to the power of social media that we mentioned earlier. As you said, because of social media and vocal activists, brands can be called out publicly if they practice greenwashing, and the consequences can be dramatic, even potentially lead to a boycott, especially among younger consumers, because they're more worried about climate change and they're more politically engaged and vocal about it than older generations. So, yes, even if there is an element of greenwashing in the industry, I think this is anyway a step in the right direction. For me, that signals that fashion players can no longer ignore consumers' demand for fairer and cleaner clothes, and brands must reprioritize ethics and sustainability as part of their core values and offering. Sustainability is starting to make business sense. It's a source of innovation. It's a source of differentiation. So that's why I believe the global pandemic has been a true wake-up call for the fashion industry, and we will see a real transformation towards greater sustainability across the board in the next 2 to 3 years.
Thank you both for sharing your insights. We all know how incredibly stressful 2020 has been for businesses and consumers alike. Life slowed down for prolonged periods of time, but it does look like this has brought about significant shifts in the mindset of consumers that are here to stay. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. Watch this space for more inspiring talks from our worldwide network of industry experts. And also remember that you can find all our multimedia, including videos, podcasts, articles, on our website at euromonitor.com/insights.